Welcome back to the program, Bill Landis from The Athletic. Bill, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Thanks for taking time with us. Ironically, our fan poll today, which is sponsored by Scene 75, the largest indoor entertainment center in the country, will be open again soon. Which transfer joining Ohio State's team will have a bigger impact, Trey Sermon or Seth Towns? My goodness, they're both massive. I guess the bigger question would be, who needed it more? And I guess I'd go to football, Bill. I mean, it's that position group got dealt an unfortunate blow. And Trey Sermon, of course, is a guy that will come in presumably healthy and have a leg up. Do you feel like he is the starter to be at Ohio State?
Yeah, I think he's the starter. I think I'd agree with you that it probably impacts football a little more, only because shoring up the running back position for the football team, you know, could be the difference between winning a national championship and not. And I'm not saying that Trey Sermon is, you know, the best running back in the country or anything like that, but that was really the only question Ohio State had on offense, and it seems like they had a pretty good answer there. And I'm not so sure that, you know, Seth Towns, while he's very good, I don't think he's the difference between Ohio State basketball winning a national championship or not. I think Sermon will start for sure. I still think it'll be a little bit of a committee kind of deal. Like, J.K. had 300 carries last year. I don't think Trey will have that much at Ohio State. He's never even had more than 200 in his career in a season. I think maybe he could be around that number. But, you know, you go into the summer and he's getting healthy still, but he's the number one guy. And then you'll see about Marcus Crowley getting back and maybe Steel Chambers enters that mix. And we'll see if Master T can get healthy at some point to play in 2020.
No, that makes sense. And, you know, I guess, is there any worry to you, Bill, about Trey Sermon and his health? He did miss, you know, the end of last season. He's been nicked up a little bit throughout his career, and you mentioned he's never been, you know, a high-volume guy at Oklahoma. Very explosive when he's had the ball and looked very good at times, but any worry about that to you, how potentially his knee could be recovering?
A little bit, only because we're kind of in this weird situation now where guys aren't allowed to visit campuses. Now, Ohio State, I'm sure, has had a lot of conversations with Trey about that and with the doctors and trainers he's worked with to figure out where exactly that knee is. But I also think you'd like to do it in person yourself if you can, and Ohio State doesn't have the chance to do that. That said, I don't think Ohio State would have done this if they had any kind of, you know, significant concern about where Trey is. I saw in the interview he did with Letterman Rowe, he said it was an LCL and not an ACL, which I guess is a little more promising in terms of recovery time. So it's a little concerning, but not much. You know, Marcus Crowley, I think, too, is coming off of a knee deal as well. But I think both those guys will be ready in time, hopefully in the summer when those guys get back to campus.
It's a pretty productive back for Oklahoma, right? The 2,000 yards over the 3 years. Yeah, we talk about the knee injury. What went, in your research, Bill, what led to this? He had lost his grasp on anything there at Oklahoma as far as the depth chart goes. Was he getting lost in there?
Yeah, I tried to dig into that a little bit, talking to some people who are closer to the Oklahoma program than I am. And, you know, he was in a backfield with Jalen Hurts, and he ran the ball more than 200 times. He's a unique quarterback, I think, with how much he runs the ball. And that took some carries out of Trey Sermon's hands. And then they had another running back, a guy who's a little younger than Trey, named Kennedy Brooks, who's also very talented. He was actually Trey's backup 2 years ago and ended up outrushing him just by a little bit, with a 1,000-yard rusher in 2018 when Trey was the starter. So it was a crowded backfield. It was kind of a weird thing. Like, he didn't touch the ball at all against Texas. And the explanation from Lincoln Riley was sort of, well, he was in the game, but it just didn't dictate giving him the ball. And then he didn't touch it much after that, and then he got hurt, and the year was kind of over. And I think you could spring it forward and look that, at like, best case scenario, he was going to be in some kind of committee role and probably not the top guy in that committee in Oklahoma next year. And he can come here to Ohio State, where maybe it will be somewhat of a committee, but he's, I think, clearly the number one guy right now. And I think he'll get the workload that he was hoping to get at Oklahoma.
Talking to Bill Landis, covering Ohio State football and basketball for The Athletic on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And Bill, you know, as you look at this offseason, it's been crazy for football. Obviously, basketball, the tournament gets canceled. But in football, there's no traditional spring ball. Maybe the NCAA will begin to adapt some things in the summer about how they operate and, you know, the coaching contact and everything. But I guess just looking at this, everybody's basically operating under the same guidelines, and I think they had to do that. But do you see this helping, hurting Ohio State, or kind of being a net neutral when it comes to on-field product in the fall?
I suppose it's a net neutral only because, like you said, everybody's going through it. I know nothing has been officially announced yet, but in the end, I don't think anyone's going to have spring ball. Obviously, all these spring games are getting canceled. I think they'll find a way to alter the calendar a little bit to maybe give these guys extra practices, whether that's extending camp or having like a mini camp kind of deal in the summer if we're in a place sort of globally to do that. I think that could be on the table. But I don't see Ohio State being particularly further behind than any other team would be. I think it helps them that they're going to have a quarterback who's played a lot, who's been in the offense, and Justin Fields. They were breaking in a new quarterback, and that guy didn't have the spring to sort of get his feet under him. I'd feel a little worse about that. They have guys stepping up into new spots, but there's a lot of experience returning for this team, too, from a group that went to the playoffs last year. So I think they're in a decent spot. Ryan Day's in his second year. So there's not a whole lot of inexperience here that would make me feel nervous, maybe if that were not the case with you know, their inability to kind of work together right now.
Visiting with Bill Landis, who covers Ohio State football and hoops for The Athletic. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. A couple departures there at Ohio State for basketball. The DJ Carton situation, you know, it's a very tough one for us to speculate. The only thing I would point to is when he was quoted in the Dispatch, he said, you know, he's looking for a fresh start. Bobby and I would both speculate that he was trying to balance, you know, having the security of a new support system, and I would presume being closer to home in Iowa somewhere. But when I heard the fresh start, it made me think, like, I wonder if there was something more to this, his experience here, and how he just needed to start over somewhere else. What's your take on the Carton transfer?
You know, I don't have any reason to believe that there was anything else going on here other than what has sort of been reported by myself and by others. And the thing that makes it hard is it's a kind of a deeply personal thing, and you don't want to pry too much because you want to respect the privacy of a college athlete teenager, you know. So it's kind of hard to wrap your head around it that way. You know, fresh start can mean a lot of things. I don't think DJ was particularly unhappy with the environment at Ohio State. For everything that I saw, Ohio State was very supportive of him, and I think he and his family appreciated that, and they sort of did everything they could to just figure out what was best for DJ, and I guess in the end what was best was for him to find a different spot, and maybe a spot that puts him in a little less of a spotlight. I know Ohio State basketball is not, you know, it's not Duke and it's not Kentucky, but it's a pretty big deal, and I know football overshadows everything, but it's a pretty big deal, and people were really excited about what he might mean for the program. And if you look at some of the places that have been mentioned among his potential suitors, I think those are all kind of places where maybe that spotlight would be lessened just a little bit. So I think that maybe could help him, and that's speculation because I don't know exactly what he was going through, other than everyone I talked to said these were very serious things. That required very serious attention and weren't, you know, things to be flippant about. So we'll see. The schools that they listed for him are not schools that are necessarily closer to home. They're kind of all over the place. I worry a little bit if this goes to a place where he transfers somewhere that's not closer to Iowa, what the reaction to that might be. But in the end, I think these are college athletes. I think they have the right to find the spot, whatever they think is comfortable for them, whatever that looks like, and that should be respected, even if you're upset a little bit that guy's not playing for your team anymore.
Yeah, well said. We got only about 30 seconds here to a minute left. The Gaffney departure is not shocking, but there is some surprise because he hasn't been here that long. And then the Seth Towns addition, just a little bit on both of those. Were you surprised about Gaffney, and what do you think Towns brings?
Was not surprised about Gaffney. You heard some rumblings about him possibly entertaining the idea of going pro after his freshman year, even before the season started. And then obviously with his role being what it was, I think everybody could kind of see that it was trending toward at least him not being at Ohio State next year. We'll see if ultimately he tries to get paid somewhere or if he'll play another year in college. I love the Seth Towns addition. I think you're seeing Chris Holtmann moving toward more of a lineup with a lot of versatile forwards, you know, switchable pieces of guys who could play a couple different positions. They needed shooting. Seth shoots the ball really well. He's a 40% shooter, a high-level scorer when he was at Harvard. This is obviously a different level, and he hasn't played in 2 years, and he's coming off an injury. But he thinks he's going to be healthy by June. And if he is healthy by June, I think if you watch him play and see his length and his size, his skills that were so good at the Ivy League level, I think will translate over to the Big Ten. And I think he can be a really impactful guy for them, you know, provided he's healthy.
Good stuff. Bill Landis, thanks for jumping on, buddy. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.